Welcome to the second half hour of the Townships at 12. In this half hour, I will be speaking with Townships artist Trevor McKinven. I will also have some health news and some music. We will start off the second half with a song called When I Paint My Masterpiece by Bob Dylan. After that, we will hear the interview with Trevor McKinven, and we will follow that with some health news, so please stay tuned.
Oh, the streets of Rome are filled with rubble. Aged footprints are everywhere. You can almost think that you're seeing double on a cold, dark night on the Spanish stairs. Got to hurry on back to my hotel room, where I've got me a date with Botticelli's niece. Yup, she promised that she'd be right there with me when I paint my masterpiece. Oh, the hours that I've spent inside the Coliseum, dodging lions and wasting time. Oh, those mighty kings of the jungle, I could hardly stand to see them. Yes, it sure has been a long, hard climb. Train reels running through the back of my memory as the daylight hours do increase. Someday everything is gonna be smooth like a rhapsody when I paint my masterpiece. I left Rome and landed in Brussels, with a picture of a tall oak tree by my side. Clergymen in uniform and young girls pulling muscles. Everyone was there and nobody tried to hide. Newspaper men eating candy had to be held down by big police. Someday everything is gonna be different when I paint my masterpiece.
Maureen Dillon Teasdale for The Cube, and today we welcome local artist Trevor McKinven from North Hatley to my show called The Townships at 12. So welcome, Trevor.
Well, thanks for having me, Maureen, and thanks for asking. And I just want to give you and David a big ups, as the kids say, for keeping the local gem going with all the great shows.
Now, how long have you been painting, and is this something that you discovered in yourself when you were a child?
Yeah, it definitely started when I was a wee tyke. I would say around 2 or 3 years old. I started drawing all over the walls to my mom's maybe lack of appreciation at that time. But she did see that I started to re-illustrate, I guess you could say, some of my kiddie books, you know. I would take papers and then try and copy the drawings and the sketches and the paintings from the little books, you know, where the wild things are or whatever. Books that I loved at the time, and started drawing dinosaurs, tractors. Of course, I was into the tractors and the cows because I grew up on a dairy farm. So, yeah, it started probably even before I hit school age. So there was something there from the get-go.
Okay, that's pretty interesting. And it's great that your parents encouraged your talent too, even though you did the walls.
Yeah, you know what? They kept some of those sketches on the wall for far too long. It was kind of funny because they weren't like, we didn't come from an artistic family or anything. We were just farmers on both sides. So they probably thought it was a bit funky and weird that I was doing this. But it was, it seemed to be like an organic thing and like encouragement from friends around the coins, Nortatli there and like things like that. And of course, when I started school, I clearly remember one prof de français, like Madame Grégoire, was she became the principal at North Island Elementary. And you know, talk about encouragement. She would just ask me to do sketches for all the holidays, you know, Valentine's Day, Park, Noel, whatever, and just do these little things. And she put them up on the walls. She used to decorate the classroom with those. So I was encouraged to doodle literally in class, and I always give her props for that. And she's kept a lot of the sketches and cards and stuff I did over the years. So there you go.
Yeah. Really cool. Now, how would you describe your art? What makes your art unique?
I can't really say. All I know is that when I have a painting and if somebody's going to stare at it for a length of time, all I want is that they kind of smell the air, you know, like if it's a field of bales, I want them to smell the fresh cut hay. If it's a colder scene, I do a lot of Santiamessa would be like, if you're deep in the woods, but you see this, you know, the sun shadows on the snow, I want you to kind of feel that warm air in your face kind of deal. Or, you know, if it's an evening scene, I want you to hear the crickets, or definitely if you see a cat, feel the cows, I want you to hear the moons, you know, the cows. And so I guess I don't really have many expectations for the painting other than the fact that I want people to feel like they could step into it and kind of step off of it. I heard somebody say that once, I can't remember who it is, but it was a painter. They said if the person wants to look to both sides to kind of see if the painting continues off the canvas, then maybe you've hit the magic mark, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't want any guesswork. Like I'm definitely not a contemporary artist, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. I want people to know exactly what back road it is in the townships, or exactly what institution that building is, or whose home it is. You know what I mean?
So, mm-hmm. Most of your paintings are farm scenes, is that correct? And especially, I guess, the cow. Let's talk about the cow.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, the vast majority for years was definitely our farm, our neighboring farms. Cows got me going. I mean, obviously I was a farm boy, 4-H raised. So, you know, I had my favorite cows when I was a kid that I raised, and then started to sketch them, paint them. And then it kind of developed, like, I guess, over high school. I wasn't doing much art, much at all. But I did get asked to paint this cow that won the Royal Winter Fur a number of times, and her name was Prize, which is pretty on-brand name for her. It's a beautiful Jersey cow, and they asked me to do that for a big Jersey event, Canada-wide Jersey event. They sold her for quite a bit of cashola, and I thought, well, there's going to be something there. So did a lot of cows, but then, you know, like I moved to Europe after the university in Ottawa. I did a little bit of sketching in Ottawa, but I was more busy doing school and wasn't in art school. That wasn't even a thing for me. I never really took any courses or anything. So I guess it's one of these things where it's like, definitely self-taught, self-trained kind of thing. 10,000 hours deal. And when I got to Europe there, I was just, I think that's when it clicked for me because, you know, you're in the back of your head, you're always like, okay, yeah, people are going to buy a painting by, you know, the sketchy guy Trev, you know, like, you want to support the local yokel dude. And I'm like, well, do they really like him, or are they just taking pity on this poor kid, you know? But like when you sell a painting to a total stranger of a scene in Italy, because I worked there for about a year, and, you know, like then you realize, oh, nobody's pressuring them into buying. They must really like it or appreciate the scene. So after that, I was kind of like, okay, there's something to this. And then I got offered a couple gigs, art shows in North Hatley at the library, and when I got back, and it just snowballed from there.
Okay, so you're entirely self-taught. How come you didn't take any art courses in university?
Well, I was, I just didn't have an interest. Like, I remember taking my portfolio up to Ottawa U, and I could see that all the other stuff was, like, more contemporary, very modern art. And I'm like, oh, geez, this stuff, my udders do not fit in this gang. And they were okay with it. And I've gone into galleries in Montreal and the St. Paul and stuff. It's the same thing. Like, they're looking for something entirely different. And mine's a little, I guess, too folksy and stuff. But, I mean, you got to do what's authentic. You got to do what you know. And if I were to paint any other subject matter, I think it would come off, it would fall flat, you know? I just think that the authenticity, you always go back to those scenes that you love and know so well. So, self-taught. I did basic geography. I did a lot of set, like, painting at Ottawa U. So in the theater realm, so there's some art involved there. But, I didn't even do it at Gull. Like, well, I took basic little stuff, but I didn't really stick with it. And, so it wasn't exactly my thing, you know? Like when I tell people, I'm like, well, I was definitely one of these accidental artists, you know? I didn't think I'd ever end up actually making any money at this or having a whatever you want to call a career. But I heard this quote actually by an artist a while back, and it's she said art chose me, I didn't actively choose art. So I guess that would probably define the way it ended up for me. So
that's interesting. I like that.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, huh?
Yeah, never apologize for your own style. Now, you lived in Europe and Italy for a while. Why did you decide to come back to the townships?
Well, that's a very good question. I could go deep on that one, but I spent a good couple of years. My dad was born in Scotland, so I managed to get the visa or my citizenship. So I spent a good chunk of time in Scotland, in Edinburgh, but I wasn't painting much there. I wasn't really doing my stuff until I got to Italy, and I was basically working in a hostel there, and I did have free time where I wasn't chopping vegetables and stuff for the local cook. And I would, of course, I lived on a lake, which is almost as beautiful, if not, I don't want to say more beautiful than Massawippi, but, you know, the equivalent in Italy, I'd say Menaggio. And I lived in the town of Menaggio, which is near Varina, Bellagio, so it's this touristy area. Beautiful high mountains right on the border of Switzerland. So, I mean, what I could not paint there. At every turn, you've got the most beautiful scenes you could possibly imagine. So, but why I came back was, you know, I kind of spent my time there. And there was reasons to come back to time. And it's one of these things where I appreciated the townships that much more after I was away at Ottawa U, hopped over to Europe. So I'd been gone for a pretty good chunk of time. And then ended up, you know, hanging in Montreal for years, worked at Ben & Jerry's and stuff. But, of course, I was dipping down to the townships periodically and for these shows. And, of course, at that point, I started to, I like to say, I'm an H&H kind of, you know, like haul and hustle. That's what the H&H stand for. My stuff around, like I schlep my stuff around to the fairs and festivals and, you know, weddings, all kinds of stuff. I do caricatures as well. So I usually do caricatures at these events. July 1st is a big one. So I started doing that, and then that kind of slowly brought me back to the townships a number of years ago. And it's one of these snowball effects where you get asked to do murals for schools and for all kinds of things. And so now I've done massive murals to tiny little paintings. I think what you have to do, if you're going to eke out a living at this weird, wacky thing they call painting, you got to diversify. You got to be able to be flexible and do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Like when I'm at the fair, like I set up my little kiosk, my little shack, my little sketchy shack, and I've got tunes on one side and paintings on the other, and it's always confusing to some people. I'm surprised by how many people are confused by it. But I'm sitting there doing caricatures of someone, and they're like, oh, that's cute. So who does the paintings over here? I'm like, well, I do those for mine too. And they're like, oh, no. So you can't really put the more serious realism paintings together with the sketchy dude that's done it. Really cartoon.
Definitely, you're familiar seeing it all the fairs around here in the townships. Now, tell us about some of the places you've shown your art and some of the comments that you've gotten from people.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of neat. I've had a number of shows. I had a show, a couple of shows in Montreal when I lived there at places around NDG, cafes and stuff. Definitely had some pretty significant success down here at the Bibliothèque de Nord-Atelier. I've had, I guess, 3 shows there. They've been kind enough to ask me to have shows there. I usually do about 40 to 50 paintings, and they're usually gone by the end of the 2-3 week period, so that's always good. And then, dibble-dabble here and there. Like I said, I'm in Italy. They asked to put my paintings up in the Ostello or the Auberge de Jeunesse that I worked at. We've got, like places, these Christmas shows and art craft shows. I started doing those quite a while ago, probably 10 years or so, from here to Timbuktu and back, Bury and back, or Megantic and back, or wherever. So I've kind of crisscrossed the townships and even further. Definitely had a couple bigger gallery shows. It's always kind of a really interesting thing, to hear people try and describe how they feel about the paintings, because it's always much different than how I feel about them. When people say, "Oh, geez, this makes me think of, I don't know, my childhood or whatever, being on whatever, fill in the blank road," or it brings them back to a time and a place where they have these really warm, fuzzy feelings, and that's kind of good, because each and every painting, whether it's just at somebody's pet dog or a beloved old barn that they want painted, because I do a ton of commissions, and I know I'm doing commissions from far afield. People were sending photos. I did a family from India and sent that to India, and all kinds of neat stuff like that. So it's not stuff that I'm really connected with, but if I get enough pictures and enough stories from the people, then you can kind of get a real personal element into the painting. And so if people kind of appreciate or notice that I put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into these paintings, no matter what the subject is, because you don't want to half beep it. You gotta make sure that it comes across as something that is emotional. They can see the emotional investment in it. Whether it's a dog that you knew or not, you want to get that true personality as close as you can with that portrait up there.
Okay, I understand
pet,
that.
And somebody said, and I can't quote them because I can't remember, but somebody said a number of years ago, when they look at my paintings, or maybe just in particular some paintings, I already mentioned it, but they said it in a much more eloquent way than I can say or remember. But they wanted to step onto the canvas, into the canvas, and they wanted to explore what lay just off to the right. They were just fascinated with whatever was about to fall off the end of the canvas there and explore. I think it was basically just a field that there was quite a thick maple woods on the side. It was a fall scene, and they just wanted to go explore the woods beside it. And somebody said that as well, but an old graveyard that I painted down in Freelichburg, Dunham area, which is just these ancient, as ancient as it gets out here, old tombstones and stuff. And they said, "God, I just love to step into that and just feel the moss and the stones or the writing, and then read the years and the names and trying to decipher what are on them and stuff." So I think that's kind of cool, because then it makes people kind of want to explore the local area by the sounds of it, and look at things that you don't normally look at or maybe take for granted. Because now I'm kind of in the biz of stopping and noticing stuff that maybe you'd rush by. Even in the old port, I remember painting Siege of Vieux Pont de Montréal, and I was like, I'd look up and see the detail on the top of those buildings that I'd never noticed before. Because I had to, because I was asked to draw, to paint this scene of this particular road, and then you would just examine it, examine it, examine it, and then you gain such a deeper appreciation for the architecture, or you know, or the history, say on the gravestones, or whatever it may be. But so that's kind of neat when people say stuff like that.
It is neat.
I kind of like. Very you kind of keep painting at that point.
Exactly.
Especially if you're at a low ebb and you're like, what am I doing?
What projects do you have coming up in 2024?
Yeah, so I've got a couple of murals all lined up. I got to slip it into Montreal and get some stuff done in there, here and there and everywhere. But I'm kind of excited right now because this really kind couple have an awesome little warm welcoming place down in North Hadley here, La Viennerie. It's a pub resto, and they've got great food, great wings, great mac and cheese. And they, you know, opened quite recently, just a couple of years ago, and just offered up the walls and said, would you like to have, you know, an expo here? I'll have your paintings on display for a month or two. And I said, heck yeah. And so I'm right in the middle of trying to crank out some new fresh off the presses paintings. I want to do like a North Hadley on Ivy, kind of nuit de neige North Hadley after all these heavy snowfalls that we had in the hood here. I went around like a maniac looking, taking photos and sketches and stuff. So I kind of want to get some new stuff out there. And actually that's open to the public. The they're having a special event, like a vernissage we call it, like on the 2nd of February. And I might as well just invite people now. And everybody's welcome to come check out the painting. Really quite a nice spot. So I'm really appreciative that they asked because, you know, it's hard to get your stuff out there. Like I said, not everybody, very few people actually go to a gallery. Or so you kind of got to bring it to them usually. So whenever you're offered a little gallery spot or in a sweet little place like the Viennerie, it's always a great opportunity. So
yeah. That's on February 2nd, and the vernissage is from what time?
Yeah, so it's from 5 to 7, so a 5-guest set. Kind of a casual drop-in. You can just come in for 15 minutes, or hopefully for them, you'll stay a little later. And it's right on Capleton as you're turning the corner. A lot of people know easy access kind of place. They'd love it if people showed up for that, and I'll be there, and that's a fact.
Sounds like a great time. Now, if somebody wants to get a calendar, you have fantastic calendars out. You actually brought one to the station, or one of your paintings out. Where can they go? How can they contact you?
The calendar thing is kind of cool. Basically, they just have to contact me on Facebook, and the calendars are, I still got a few left. Facebook's my name on Facebook, Trevor McKinnon, is the best way to do it. With the calendars, this one that I did this year is kind of a fun thing because I kind of went back to the old roots of being the farm boy, and it's kind of an ode to the family farm and how they're disappearing. And it actually, the idea came from a song that I heard by one of my faves, Luke Combs, Back 40 Back. And it's kind of a sad song about progress taking over, and, you know, parking lots taking over all the back 40, and how we're losing that kind of thing. So I just kind of had the idea to collect a bunch of old paintings of our old farm and farms around the area, a couple of cows thrown in there, you know, anything agricultural. And it seems to hit people on a different level than the other calendars. End up selling a painting, I'm still kind of floored. Or do you still get that, like, jolt, eh? When you're like, are you serious? You really want to buy this? And that just kind of gives you the thrill and keeps you painting. Kind of a flashback. I used to go down to my grandparents at Homer's Farm, Jersey down there. I clearly remember at like 5, going to the barn, you know, checking out chores, and then popping up to my grandparents' house. And they pointed this out to me years later, how I'd like sit there, and I was a shocker, kind of a hyper kid, and the squirrel, as they call me, still that way. And I would pour through these group of seven books, but I was really particular to Robert Bateman, this Canadian artist. So Bateman, I would pour through them and I'd think, how in the heck did he manage to paint that bear so realistic, or that whale or whatever he said? And I remember thinking, okay, well, I'm challenged. Like, I'm going to try and paint some of his paintings, just paint like him. And I distinctly remember that thought. So when I had that memory, I thought, oh man, that's so weird, because like now people, they'll pass by, look at kiosk and be like, oh, these are, your photos are pretty. I like your photos. I'm like, well, they're paintings. And they're like, oh, what? No? And so there's a bit of confusion, but some of them are prints, so they're like shrunken down, so maybe they look a little bit more photographic. So that was a memory I had about back way back in the day.
Well, we thank you very much for doing the interview.
Thanks again for the opportunity. It's much appreciated.
And here's some health news for today. Get some sunlight, even if it's frigid or snowy outside. Exposing yourself to natural light will be worth the shivering. It helps keep your circadian rhythm on track for better sleep and a stronger immune system. Aspects of good health that are especially important to attend to during the cold and flu season. And that information was from the magazine called Prevention, February 2024 issue. I want to again thank Trevor McKinven for his interview, and don't forget the vernissage on February 2nd. And also I want to thank Dr. Rowe again for his interview. We will close out today's show with a song called Back 40 Back by Luke Combs. Have a great afternoon, everyone, and thanks for listening.
Sail by on a sign on Highway 59, the signal of the times are turning up the page. There used to be nothing here, but then nothing disappeared. Upon the barn, the farm, the fields have long since been replaced. The asphalt parking where that 10-pew Pentecostal stood. Fast food four lanes and a subdivided neighborhood. The walls of the world are closing in. Spreading city spreads us thin. We can't seem to make our ends meet the black. Never would have thought it would last. The way of life, the time moved past. What I wouldn't give to have the back 40 back. Maybe I'm a sucker for knowing who lives next door. From my back porch, a pinch of peace and quiet. I can't get back the used to be, so I hang on to the memories. And I can still look up and see the stars, not streetlights shining. The walls of the world are closing in. Spreading city spreads us thin. We can't seem to make our ends meet the black. Never would have thought. Changing way too fast, a way of life. That